Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, in recent months on Drive Time, we've heard stories from several people with disabilities about problems that they have with access to stadiums, to cafes, to parks. Well, the challenges that people with disabilities face when it comes to accessing their full rights as EU citizens was addressed at the EU Parliament this week. In particular, the barriers preventing access to key rights and services across EU member states. For more on this, we're joined now by European Ombudsman Emily O'Reilly, and you're welcome to the programme, Emily, this evening. Thank you for joining us. I know you were addressing the fifth forum of the European Parliament of Persons with Disabilities this week in Brussels. Can you talk us through some of the issues that you talked about in that speech and the barriers facing people with disabilities?
Well, first of all, this was the fifth time that the European Parliament of People with Disabilities has taken place. So there are over 500 people, 500 disability delegates from all over Europe, including from Ireland. I mean, they were talking about, because with the European elections coming up, they were talking about just the simple act of accessing, you know, polling stations and so on, being able to access websites in relation to getting information and all of that. And also one of the themes was the harmonisation of what they call a disability card throughout Europe, because every member state has different standards when it applies to people who, in relation to services for disabilities or, you know, parking your car, all of that. So there's been a big push on recently for a harmonised disability card to get. So no matter where you go in the EU, you will be treated the same if you are a person with disabilities. But the Commission seems to be moving quite fast on that.
And when it comes to barriers, then, what are the main issues that you see? Because I know, as I said, it's an issue that we've discussed quite a lot here on the programme. You know, very, very simple things seem to come up for people, like, for example, not being able to get the bus because the ramp on the bus is broken a lot of the time, so you can't rely on it.
You're absolutely right, Sarah. And actually, there was an incredible example of that given by an Irish woman, one of the delegates at the Parliament. And in fact, she received, I think, the biggest round of applause, the biggest cheer of anybody who spoke at the session that I was at, which went on for a few hours. And this is an Irish woman who had come over as a delegate the night before with some of her colleagues. Five of them, I think, have wheelchairs. There was difficulty at Dublin Airport. There was difficulty on the flight. The net result was that this woman's motorised wheelchair was left at Dublin Airport. And so she arrived in Brussels and she was left in a very humiliating way, basically waiting for 2 hours until, you know, a replacement wheelchair could be found for her. And she found that incredibly hurtful, incredibly humiliating. And the irony was that she was going to attend a session of the European Parliament of People with Disabilities in relation to access. So I spoke to her at some point during the coffee break because I'd heard about this from other Irish people who'd been on the flight. And she was very upset and she did feel, you know, disheartened, humiliated and all of that. But anyway, when she spoke about a half hour later, it was incredible. I mean, people reacted so positively to it, because so many of the people with disabilities, when they speak, they're very polite, they're restrained, they're in a political forum, they want to be heard, they don't want to get too emotional. But her emotion was restrained, but she absolutely nailed it and named it in relation to access. And just one small thing, when I was walking over to the European Parliament building in Brussels, and I was coming over from Place Luxembourg, which is a sort of a public square, literally 100 metres from the door of the People's Parliament in Brussels. And I was, you know, obviously this particular issue was on my mind, and I was looking at my surroundings and thinking, you know, what would it be like if I were disabled, if I, you know, was in a wheelchair. And at the corner, and this is literally just metres from the European Parliament, there was a lamppost. Okay, that's fair enough. Then there was a big sort of receptacle for giveaway newspapers. Then there were two abandoned e-scooters propped up against that. And then there were three or four piles of rubbish which had spilled out of the street around that. And I was thinking, this is just extraordinary. You know, the lack of attention, the lack of care, the lack of imagination. And actually, in relation to that particular Irish woman, I hope you do, you know, talk to her, because she has a wonderful story to tell, and a very powerful story to tell. The irony was, well, not irony, it was quite a nice coincidence, really, that after she spoke, the Belgian minister in charge of these issues was speaking. And so she got a public apology from her, you know. Mm. So that in a very sort of, you know, down to earth, straightforward way, show the actual problems in relation to physical access, you know, let alone being able to wander the world unimpeded.
And yet the description there that you've given of just this one street that you happened to look at it through new eyes, I think you could be describing streets all around Europe, couldn't you? In any of the countries around Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't want to pick on Brussels, though. I mean, it is extraordinary that this should be in front of the Parliament building, and it can be a very messy square. I don't know if you've ever been there, but there are lots of restaurants there and so on. But yes, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't, single out Brussels, I'm sure, in Dublin. I know in Dublin.
Yeah.
Those obstacles are there as well. I'm sure in some countries, I imagine some of the Scandinavian countries like Copenhagen and in Denmark and so on, I think they do a lot to imagine life, not just for people with disabilities, for life for mothers with children and buggies and older people and people on cycles and so on and so forth. They bring that human imagination into play when they are designing those public areas for people to maneuver through.
So I know you're working alongside a UN committee to try and improve all of this. What actually can practically be done?
Well, I mean, in fairness, a lot is done. One of the pieces of work that I deal with complaints in relation to disability and so on, one of the pieces of work we've been doing is around deinstitutionalization. I mean, Ireland has been reasonably good on this, but some countries are still, building institutions or doing them up, and the whole move has been towards having people living with their families, living within the community and making the necessary adaptations. But, the complaints that we have dealt with have been that EU funding is still being used to maintain and to retain these institutions. Now, again, there have been improvements, but it's such a struggle. And Sarah, when you're looking at, that Parliament, and it's a big building and, hundreds of people, and all of them, but some of them in wheelchairs, some of them who are visually impaired, some of them who are deaf, all different kinds of disabilities. And you are so struck by the challenges. I know this sounds like a terrible cliche, and I don't mean it to be, but I mean by the challenges they face just by doing the simplest things and by the failure of the able-bodied people and people, the politicians and so on, to imagine, to step into their lives and try and imagine what it would be like. And that is the biggest failure, because I don't think it's resources. I think it's just a lack of humanity at times, but imagination at other times.
And also perhaps a lack of political strength on behalf of disabled people, because they're, less likely to be able to organise themselves to go out and protest. They're not a lobby group that's very powerful.
Exactly. But I do remember during the financial crisis, and I was Irish Ombudsman at the time, and lots of services were being cut back and so on, and lots of people were suffering, and people with disabilities were suffering in particular, because there were certain services that were absolutely vital to their lives, that, for example, having a personal assistant, which meant they could leave their homes and go out and take the bus and go to the cinema, whatever. And I remember a group of them chained themselves and their wheelchairs to the gates of Leinster House. And I always remember that. I thought it was an iconic image of that particular time in Ireland. But, there is always money. I mean, I was listening to that item you had in relation to the absence of beds or respite care. And I'm sorry, I didn't pick it all up, but a particular issue that was being talked about there. And I think it was said, well, it's not a problem with money. It's a problem of recruiting people. But very often in social care, those people are paid stupidly low rates of money, that nobody or few people are going to be enticed into it. And those that are going to be enticed into it may not be, the best qualified people or those who are really motivated to be in it. So it's not just a question of money. It's also a question of honouring all of those people, the service providers who we honoured so much during the COVID pandemic, but now we seem to have forgotten about again. So, I mean, if people are to be cared for, they need people to care for them. And because it is such a vital service, that service needs to be recognised in the pay that they are given.
So when the government talks about recruitment issues in this area, and it's not just in the area of respite that they're talking about recruitment issues, we were speaking yesterday about access to disability assessments for children in particular. And again, government was saying that recruitment in that area is causing major problems. You say if you pay people, you'll be able to recruit people.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know one of my daughters has worked in social care here, you know, with elderly people and children and so on, and she loves the work, and even if she is my daughter, I say she's pretty brilliant at it. But you know, it's low pay. She's now gone to Australia. The pay is higher. You know, so she's kind of, I'm not saying it was the only reason she went there. She wanted to travel a bit and enjoy herself, you know. But again, you know, I would wonder, you know, she's in her early 20s. So I'm thinking, well, what is her future career in this area? You know, I have a relative at the moment who's in a nursing home in London. And, you know, I see again, you know, the quality of care that is given. And I know that the people who are doing their best are also amongst the poorest paid in the city.
Well, you make a compelling argument, and very interesting to speak to you. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's European Ombudsman Emily O'Reilly. Thank you.